When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
If Ole Miss only gives up 20 points, I don't care who is it. Only 20 points. Lane Kiffin as head coach, a third-year star quarterback, Heisman candidate at quarterback, you win that game. And if you don't, it's on you. Whew. Welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions, a post-game after Kentucky edition of Talk of Champions. Did Ole Miss get high off its own supply? Maybe Jackson Dart and the Ole Miss offense after those first 4 weeks of cupcakes. Maybe they did, because they got absolutely knocked in the mouth against Kentucky and wilted. A 20-17 seismic season-shifting loss to Kentucky on Saturday. It's the same offense that led FBS in every statistical category, and they were swaggerless. Neutralized by a defensive line with NFL players, for sure. A good Kentucky defense. Everyone will tell you that, not just the stupid Ole Miss homer here. You heard Greg McElroy talking about it. You've heard Lane Kiffin talking about it. The NFL players, that is a good Kentucky defense. That's why everyone, me included, here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the house up top, were eager to see Ole Miss in this game, because this was a test. This was an opportunity to silence the doubters, to show them that everything you did in the first 4 weeks, historic as it was for a reason, because you're a contender not to be trifled with, not to be messed with. And 20-17, you're number six Ole Miss Rebels, as I take a sip of beer, loses to Kentucky, drops to 4-1, 0-1 in the SEC. I thought the defense responded in the second half. And like I said, 20 points allowed should always be a win for a program designed around one of football's supposed most high-octane, dangerous offenses. And they sure as heck look pedestrian today. This edition of Talk of Champions, every edition of Talk of Champions, brought to you, as always, by Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit for all of your roofing needs. Text or call Riverland Roofing today at 662-644-4297. That's 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. You can sign up today for a sub for just $5, I think. It's half off this week because Ole Miss opened SEC play. Unfortunately, opened it with the loss. I was bullish on this Ole Miss football team. Y'all been watching Talk of Champions for weeks now, since August when I started it back up in this iteration of Talk of Champions. Just you and me talking to you about the Rebels. And I was bullish. I thought this was the different kind of Lane Kiffin team. And the reason I was, myriad reasons, but I noted, I made sure to note on podcast after podcast that this team had issues to resolve. Go back and watch Monday's show. The problem areas that a team who could fight back would exploit if Ole Miss didn't get them cleaned up. You had field corner opposite Trey Amos. I'm going to repeat myself, but you've heard all of this before. Field corner opposite Trey Amos. Brandon Turnage started against Kentucky in place of Isaiah Hamilton, which was a story, but replaced fairly early, I think early in the first half, by Isaiah Hamilton. And then Hamilton, of course, was the one in coverage on Barry and Brown on the fourth down heave by Kentucky. He had great coverage. Barry and Brown pushed off. I don't care to get into all the officiating stuff. I know a lot of Ole Miss fans are frustrated as hell. I don't blame you for being frustrated, but that's all excuses. We'll talk more about it. For me, yes, Barry and Brown pushed off. Ole Miss still had opportunities after that to hold Kentucky out of the end zone and wasn't able to do it. He had good coverage. I don't knock him for that. But that was one of the concerns, field corner opposite Trey Amos. They're still trying to figure some things out. They showed that starting Brandon, in comes Isaiah Hamilton. Too many busts. You still saw too many Kentucky Wildcats running open, especially in the middle of the field. And no, Trey Amos did not hold in the end zone. That was not a hold, which resulted in another Kentucky score. But Ole Miss has gone over 30 penalties in its last two games, pushing 40. And it's mostly on the defense, and that is by design. Ole Miss is going to be aggressive on the back end, unleash the pressure from its talented front, from its linebackers, in theory, because you didn't really see a lot of that against Kentucky. Unleash all of that talent and let the back end play physical, play man, and Pete will coach them that way. Say, hey, guys, hold every play. They're not going to call it every single play. That is a Nick Saban tree kind of schematic. That's how Nick Saban coached it. They're not going to call holding on every single play, so hold. But Ole Miss, they are calling it on you almost every single play. And even if Trey Amos's wasn't holding, and Ole Miss got a touchdown scored on it because of that, same problems, different game. The knock for Jackson Dart, downfield ability, underthrows. But the line sucked. How do we judge that? Do we really, like, it feels unfair to Jackson Dart because I saw how bad the offensive line was. It was a bad game for Jackson, but he had absolutely no help whatsoever. But he did make some boneheaded mistakes. It's not over. Ole Miss wins the rest of its regular season games. It's in the playoffs. But the first bit of adversity strikes in 2024-25, and Ole Miss just goes into the fetal position. It's just disappointing. We're not angry, or at least here on Talk of Champions in the Riverland Roofing Studios, we're not angry. We're just disappointed. Because Jackson Dart was on SportsCenter this week talking about this electric Ole Miss offense to a national audience. Only they put up 17 points in their SEC opener, and that's a good Kentucky defense. But still, Lane Kiffin, you can't ever say anything about the fans anymore. Just stop. I give him so much credit for coming out after Georgia Southern when Ole Miss set that record for the most fans in attendance for a game for Georgia Southern. And he said, I've been critical. That was awesome. Let's just squash it all together. Never bring it up again. Never again. Because I know it's disappointing when for Juice Wells or whoever, or I'll just name names, Trey Harris, Jaden Williams, whoever it might be, TJ Dottery. I'm just picking guys. It might be disappointing for them when they run out at halftime after you're beating the crap out of a cupcake and the stands are empty. It's way more disappointing for the Ole Miss fans sitting there watching that today. Because you gave all of your haters all the ammunition they needed. You can say those things. You can be on that level. That level of non-reproach. You can do that when you're a contender, not when you're a pretender. And I still think Ole Miss talent-wise is one of the best teams in college football. And I don't say that as an Ole Miss homer. I say that by looking at any analytics or grading system that you remotely give any kind of weight to. And Ole Miss has one of the very best all-22s in the sport. Ole Miss fans, everybody marketing held up their end of the deal. The sip in the end zones, no matter what you thought about it, I thought they looked pretty great. The sip came from Lane Kiffin. You created that. This program has been crafted in your image. Rightfully so. Retire here. This has been a blast, and Ole Miss only wants to keep it going. That's what makes today such a bummer. That it's the same old thing, same movie. We know how it ends. We remember the Alabama, get your popcorn ready. And then LSU was amazing. And all of this was put to bed. It was done. It was over with. The Peach Bowl was a nice exclamation point, whipping that Penn State team. But here you are, your first challenge. What's his coaching identity been? What does Paul Feinbaum get his rocks off talking about? That's a lot of things. A lot of wins at Ole Miss, the third most in the SEC since 2020. But one of his only wins before LSU, signature wins, was Kentucky 2 years ago and surviving Will Levis. Good to see Jared Ivey back out there. Got that strip sack. Back then, God, they could have used one more. Ole Miss on paper and in conversations with actual experts and not words of the idiot you're watching. They were supposed to be. We were told they were in a different contention place. That they'd solve the problems that Georgia had exposed. And embarrassing them by 5 touchdowns. They beefed up those lines, specifically the defensive line with top 10 transfers in Princely, Umanmielen, and Walter Nolan, the top-ranked edge and 3-tech in college football after 4 weeks, or ranked in the top 3, both of them. And all I saw was more of the same from a typical Lane Kiffin team at Ole Miss. Kentucky controlled the line of scrimmage. Ole Miss couldn't generate much pressure, mostly in the first half. But that defense bounced back. It stepped up. Credit, a lot of credit. The only helmet sticker I'm giving out today. Jaden Kennedy, Tulane transfer, playing that hybrid linebacker safety role. Man, teams have tried to go right at him. He just competes his butt off. Now, got called for some penalties. A couple of them deserved. But competed his ass off, made some plays. He's improved his pass grade every single week. Jaden Kennedy, you get my helmet sticker. The offense curled up. They wilted. That physicality from Kentucky noticeably, I mean, could you not just see it? It took the air out of them. All the air out of it. Sure, the officiating was one-sided, but I don't care. Where was the fire? Where was the swag? That air it out YOLO style. That is the brand for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I saw timidness. I saw Ole Miss players playing unsure of themselves. A game plan completely in a pretzel when it went off script. All things of a typical Lane Kiffin team at Ole Miss. But this wasn't supposed to be a typical Lane Kiffin team at Ole Miss. It was supposed to be a title contender. And now, it's a bubble team fighting for its life. And don't just take my word for it. Take theirs. Remember the last dance? All that talk? Well, record scratch on that dancing music. These boys have their work cut out for them now. Because make no mistake, this is still the best team talent-wise Kiffin has ever assembled. Certainly the most talented top-to-bottom in Ole Miss modern era history. He said as much, I've said as much, your mom and dad have said as much, your friends. There's no conspiracy here. Talent-wise, this still remains. That's why you got to hold him to this standard. Talent-wise, this still remains one of the very best modern era Ole Miss teams ever assembled. And they'll be in every game because of that defensive difference, the best collection of defensive talent. And they did their job. Yeah, they had bad moments. They got hit in the mouth. They still got their problem areas, field corner. 20 points is a win for a Lane Kiffin team at Ole Miss. 20 points? It just doesn't matter when the offense, the bread and butter for Lane Kiffin, is just lifeless. I said it after the first 4 cupcake games. You can only go by what you see. And that's what we're still doing. And unfortunately, what we see is a pretender, at least for now. Because what we've seen so far, Jackson Dart was off to the best start of an SEC quarterback since 1998. Ole Miss had a plus 198 point differential through 4 games. The best in SEC history. The first team in SEC history with 600 yards in 4 straight games in those 220 points they scored. The most through 4 games in school history. And now we can say it all together. They didn't play anybody. Kentucky passed for more yards than Ole Miss. Of course, Ole Miss lost that game. If I'd have told you that beforehand, you'd have said, oh yeah, Ole Miss lost. Or at least you would have said closer than expected. Be on upset alert. And also, you'd have laughed in my face. No way in hell. Jackson Dart, Heisman contender. Look at the start. Who'd they play? Because when they finally play somebody, they got exposed. Because Ole Miss was making history. Because Ole Miss was putting up video game numbers. Of course it was against bad competition. But it's the way they were beating these teams. They weren't just 34-24, 48-28, something like that. It was 40-6. It was 52-13 against their first Power 4 opponent on the road. But then you come home where you'd won 21 of your last 23, forgive me. It's been a long day. Had been 21-2, I think, in your last 23 games. And you let Kentucky bully you. officiating, if you got a gripe with officiating, well, then stop holding because they're calling you for it. Because Ole Miss, before the half, gave up a touchdown. Three first downs, all on defensive penalties. No, Trey Amos didn't hold. And the officiating was inarguably imbalanced all day. But that is excuse making. Make the play in front of you, and your Ole Miss football Rebels ranked number 6 today, but it won't be that way on Monday, Sunday. Now 4-1 on the year, and 0-1 in the SEC after its SEC opener. And they have their work cut out for them now. Because look across the college football landscape, because that's what you're wondering right this second. All right, what does it mean? Does it mean it's over? No, it's not over. It just means that what was always true, or what we thought was true, is definitely true. 10-2 with a loss to Kentucky ain't getting you into the playoffs. You got to beat Georgia now. You have to go 11-1. At least it looks like that today. And just like, think of podcasts, I've said it before, think of podcasts and this kind of communication as a snapshot in time, right? Like political polling. Doesn't mean it's what's going to happen in November, but it's what's happening right now. And right now, when you look at the college football landscape, it seems clear. 10 wins and a loss to Kentucky isn't going to do it. Because Ole Miss doesn't play Alabama. It doesn't play Tennessee. Hell, it didn't even play Texas A&M. They do play Georgia. See, you thought 11-1, a loss to Georgia, you're in. Not 10-2 with a loss to Georgia and Kentucky. You have to win that game now because all the canned, lazy criticism that was thrown your way for the first 4 weeks that you turned your nose up at, well, you just gave it power fuel. You just added gasoline to that fire. You gave life to all of it. And you know what? You hadn't played anybody. Now we got to say it too. You hadn't played anybody. Ole Miss fans will say this to you now. Media, everyone has to say it now because you lost to Kentucky the first team you played. You haven't played anyone yet. You have been undisciplined. The offensive line is banged up and not nearly as deep as I and all of us thought, including those that we asked these questions to whose opinions actually matter. Lane Kiffin, not his coaches because he didn't let us, but any of the players that they bring out to talk to is talking about the depth of this offensive line and the challenging nature of practices with this defensive line remade as it is with two top 10 transfers and Walter Nolan and Princely Umanmiel and against an offensive line with depth of options. And you saw that for four games, and we can only trust our eyes against cupcakes, no doubt about it. And then Kentucky bullied you. Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, PrizePicks has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport and whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at PrizePicks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with PrizePicks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the PrizePicks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on PrizePicks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with PrizePicks. Run your game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They bullied you every bit as bad, it seemed like, as Georgia last year in Athens. The only difference was is Kentucky had a shitty offense. But still more weapons than they've ever had, even though they still can't score quickly. You knew what they were going to do to you. They were going to grime it up, make it ugly. and you let them. Defensively, you can get by like that. Offensively, you have to dictate. We thought you were a team that dictated pace. The first time you played somebody, they owned it. Doubled you 2-1 in time of possession. Obviously, Ole Miss is never going to win time of possession, but 2-1, and they're running 15, 11, 12 play drives. That, in and of itself, shows that they controlled it from jump to the end. They played the exact game you knew they were going to play, and they stuck to it. It's going to be ugly. If it's from Kentucky, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be, you're going to have to be very patient. And Ole Miss wasn't patient. Jackson Dart wasn't patient. They, on the first drive, score quickly, and you think, oh, here it goes. We told y'all. But as they showed again, typical of a Lane Kiffin team, when it goes off script, it can go bad or go wrong in a hurry. You hadn't played anybody. You're undisciplined. The offensive line banged up, sure, but not nearly as deep as we thought. Henry Parrish can't be the only running back like we thought. But yeah, for 4 weeks, it looked amazing against Cupcakes. He can't be the only one. And it was bizarre watching Ole Miss not even attempt to run the ball early on in the first half. Coming out throwing, which is what they typically do, but then no attempt outside of inside zone. Challenging teams on the perimeter with the running game is just, it's not there. It doesn't exist. Feeding narratives, feeding concerns. You did it all right here and there. And you still, with the contemporary, only lost to them by 3, but you shouldn't even have been close in this game. You should have whipped this team, but they whipped you. Because Lane Kiffin offenses operate at their peak capacity and is among the most effective in the country when the running game is one of the very best in the conference, if not nationally. And that this running game is not that. The Quinshon Judkins criticism, the easy, lazy can stuff, not even contextualizing it, knowing what he did is in negotiations and how ugly it got. He left for a number of reasons. It's not because of Ohio State paying him more. They didn't pay him more. They paid him less. It's just all he could get on the free market. Ole Miss was paying him a significant amount of money. But you feed that, oh, can they really survive without Quinshon Judkins, the single-season record holder as a freshman at Ole Miss? I mean, this was a Heisman candidate. Sure, last year wasn't that good, and he can't break a 20-yard run he did last week. Congratulations. You're not doing that with Henry Parrish either. Ulysses Bentley is nowhere to be found. He didn't show up, did Ulysses Bentley, again until he replaced Micah Davis, who got hurt on the game's opening kickoff return, which the ground can't cause a fumble, but that play right there seemed ominous. It was no doubt that he did not fumble, Micah Davis, but that they gave them that. I thought it was obvious that the ground caused the fumble, but then Kentucky recovers it and immediately goes to replay review. Oh, boy. Replay, the Trey Harris catch. Now, again, Trey was bailing out Jackson, this Ole Miss offense. They ruled it incomplete on replay review. That was a catch. He had it. Yeah, it pops out, but he had his hands on it the whole time. It never touched the ground. That is a catch. We can't determine what a catch is. But again, that would have just bailed out or masked over bigger issues. That's excuse making. Trey didn't catch the ball then. So what? You got to play the play in front of you. And Ole Miss, it lost. Matt Jones was a non-factor. He'd been a great story for 4 weeks. The walk-on made number 2, non-factor. Now we really got to ask, what's wrong with Ulysses Bentley then? Because he was the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. Signed to a new NIL deal with the Grove Collective to replace Quinshon Judkins. Where is he now? Is it because of the turf toe? He's just not healthy in his return from surgery to repair turf toe that he suffered in the spring. Is that it? Doesn't have the same bounce? We have to ask these questions because the numbers here in a loss to Kentucky, your first SEC game, it would be a dereliction of duty if we didn't say, hey, where is Ulysses Bentley? Because this can't cut it. Defensive line was pushed around in the first half by Kentucky. And that offensive line is not even good. Whipped by South Carolina. I mean, this Kentucky team got destroyed by the team that Ole Miss gets next, South Carolina, 31-6. They ran and passed all over them. Then Ole Miss offensively made everything look so hard, so uninspired. Easily one of the worst games. Hate it for you, man. OC, Charlie Weiss. I'm not saying it's just Lane or just Charlie. The whole offensive play, the worst y'all have had. That offensive staff, whoo, clunker. Ole Miss had plays downfield and missed them. And it was mostly in the first half on underthrows by Jackson Dart. But I find it hard to blame Jackson Dart even for the underthrows. Every quarterback is going to have underthrows. But he was sped up from play one. They opened the game quickly and scored quickly. But you could tell that there was a marked difference in the time that Jackson Dart was getting compared to those first four games. They were going quick. They were sticking to script. But then when they had to go off script and create on their own and make adjustments, they couldn't do it. I don't blame him necessarily for the underthrows. That's why I don't want to get in the whole discourse about Austin Simmons. But when you're in a game like this and his limitations, which again we began to question because how good and record-setting and video game-like he'd been for four games, the hottest start for an SEC quarterback since Tim Couch in 1998. When it pops up then in a loss, you got to go, well, is it fixed? All of these issues. I wonder at times then if they were tempted to go, man, we just got to get something, throw Austin Simmons in there, you can chunk it 70 yards, and just let one of these guys go try to get it. Because Ole Miss schematically wasn't challenging the middle of the field. I mean, just look at the plays before or after Jackson Dart's 40-yard desperation heave to Caden Pree scored on fourth down. They kept the game on life support. A few plays later, Caden Davis misses the game-tying field goal, and honestly, it was fitting. Yeah, it sucks, and I'm sorry it happened. But Ole Miss got what it deserved in a game that it played about as poorly as it could, allowing Kentucky to dictate everything, giving in to all of its worst impulses, or, to be more clear, giving in to all of the criticism, all the knocks against it to this point. Ole Miss needed to escape just to make it, you know, keep its title hopes in the number six category. But even with a win 22-20, or whatever it would have been, 23-20, even if you'd have won in that way, it wasn't going to help your standing. The same questions would be here and now persisting. It hasn't changed, including Jackson Dart's ability to consistently push the ball downfield, an offense that has more weapons than arguably ever in the modern era collectively. But then again, the offensive line is the number one issue for Ole Miss. Jeremy James is out. Caleb Warren is out. Both of those guys are multi-year starters, regardless of what you think about their every-down ability as plug-and-play starting offensive linemen. I think Jeremy James is an NFL player, but I've been hearing that about Jeremy James for the last 3 years. Caleb Warren, I love that kid to death. I think both of them would have been huge lifts for Ole Miss in this game, but is that long-term solace? Well, Ole Miss tried to recruit, or did recruit, to replace them in the offseason. I mean, what was Jerquan Scott here for if not to replace Caleb Warren at center? And now Jerquan Scott's not healthy. So you've got Reese McIntyre, six-year reserve backup in his fifth game, finally being challenged, and it was a bad day. But it wasn't just him. The interior of that offensive line was pushed around. Jackson Dart was running. He had maybe two-second pockets, and the interior was made up of the two Washington transfer offensive linemen, both huge gets for Ole Miss, especially when you put it in a room where they have a lot of bodies similar to them. You're like, man, look at the depth. If that guy doesn't work out, this guy could. They play pretty much every snap. Now, Nate Kaleppo, he's started a multi-year starter, multi-game starter for Washington, a playoff contender. And Julius Boileau started games too. But Nate Kaleppo was the big land because he was an every game starter, while the other, Julius Boileau, was more of a reserve. And they looked like transfers from a lesser conference against Kentucky. And the one thing you can't take away from Kentucky is what? A defensive line made up of NFL players. They looked like it struggled. They struggled with Reese McIntyre. Reese wasn't all by himself. Meanwhile, both of your tackles were turnstiles. Diego Pounds was replacing Jaden Williams, who surprisingly scratched with an injury. Wasn't a good day for him. Now, both he and Jaden Williams against Georgia Southern last week had an equal pass block grade at 83.1 for Pounds and then 83.4 for Williams. he was ice skating a little bit too much against Kentucky. And that speed, you saw Octavius Oxendine in the middle, really torturing those Washington transfers, going at Reese McIntyre. Deion Walker is an NFL player. They were supposed to have improved. They were supposed to have recruited over the losses or potential losses of a Jeremy James who's out for a month with a hand injury, or Caleb Warren who still can't make the field, even though we were told this week he could make his debut Saturday, still not out there, and they definitely could have used him. Jaden Williams, now you see why. That was a storyline. Diego Pounds, oh, Jaden Williams took Diego's spot. Good for him because he had a down year last year. Maybe that also has something to say with, where is Diego? Is he giving them that impact that you wanted him, or that you recruited and signed him from North Carolina, where he was Drake Mays, blindside protector? Because you haven't gotten that guy. He was hurt too. So injuries on the offensive line writ large, how it's made up, how it's constructed. This was the time for them to prove the doubters most of all wrong, and they, flashing red lights, are the biggest issue right now. John Garrison, buddy, this week is on you. It's the offensive lineman, or maybe it's the lack of running back depth too. We talked about that, because it looked like that on Saturday. They aren't new problems. These aren't any new problems. But Ole Miss, unfortunately, could have put all of these gripes to bed with even a skin by their teeth win. And now they're 4-1 with a deserved loss to a competitive but better than them Kentucky. They're not legit title contenders. They are pretenders. I mean, this is the kind of team, Kentucky, that legit title contenders win no matter how ugly it gets. Georgia proved that. Carson Beck and Georgia proved that. They made the one play they had to. The plays that were made for Ole Miss. Jackson Dart sack, for example, on that last drive. The one thing you can't do was day one abysmal stuff. Like, you cannot do that. But even worse for me, he got a free play when Deion Walker jumped offside. But rather than, it doesn't matter if you throw an interception, just give somebody a shot in the end zone. He decided to run it and then fumbled it. It was a bad day all around. And Ole Miss fan, I know you're really pissed off. You don't want to hear me rambling too much. I've been rambling too long. I'm going a little off script here. But I just got a text from Bradley Sowell. He said, I don't know if I could ever watch college football again. That loss took my soul. I get it. But what I saw today, nothing surprised me. I texted Brad. I said, hey, man, you going to do this post-game show with me? He said, I'm too angry. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. And that's how you know I've become like a true-on dad. You know, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. But that's truly how I felt. Because, again, these issues weren't new. If you get past the raw emotion of how the hell did Ole Miss really lose to Kentucky, Kentucky outpassed them. Barry Brown can do one thing, and you allowed him to do the one thing. Did he push off? Absolutely. Trey Harris, did he make that catch? Sure he did, but why was it so hard? Where are the playmakers? Where is Juice Wells? Where's the motion? Where's the attacking the middle of the field? All those things are glossed over. Any complaints you could have, you can excuse it away when you're 4-0 and making or setting records and making history. But then when you finally play somebody and you lose, well, now we got to ask all the questions. Now, where you were favored in each of your remaining games, according to ESPN, now we look down the schedule and say, ooh, South Carolina, that's tough as hell. Look what they did to that Kentucky team. 31-6, guys. Ole Miss had won 21 of its last 23 at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. And Kentucky came in here and played bully ball. It's the offensive line. It's lack of running back depth. It's field corner opposite Trey Amos. They're still trying to figure some things out. It's not a consistent enough push, especially in run defense, for this defensive line. The offensive line injuries, all problems we've been talking about. Unfortunately, they answered them all in the way that we were dreading the most. They gave them all validity. Every single one of them. Oh, they're a pretender because they hadn't played anyone. You're right. Oh, who cares if they're setting records? I don't care. Jackson Dart, of course, he's the number 7 ranked quarterback according to Mel Kiper for the NFL draft and not really a Heisman candidate. It's just they've only played cupcakes. You're right. Ole Miss defense. Go make a stop. Go get a sack. Go get some push. Go be that defensive line that Ole Miss had in 2008 against Wesley Carroll and Mississippi State where they ruined his life. Nightmare game for him. Be that difference between Georgia last year and this year. And they were good. They weren't transformative. It wasn't all bad. It wasn't all bad. But you gave your non-believers all the ammunition and reason they need to not take you seriously. They definitely don't have to take you seriously until Georgia in November. No matter if you're undefeated going into that game. Now it'll make that a better game for the broadcast, right? So like, oh, well, Ole Miss has rebounded. But it's changed the whole dynamic. Now it's, okay, well, here they go again. Can they win? What's been the Lane Kiffin criticism? Paul Feinbaum's levied it on him forever. A lot of talk, a lot of wins at Ole Miss, the third most since 2020, behind only Georgia and Alabama. But, and like I said, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. And that'll do it for an all-new, unfortunate edition of Talk of Champions. Ole Miss loses to Kentucky 20-17. We'll be back on Monday with an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. And we're always here in the Riverland Roofing Studios. There's the Riverland House up top. The Ole Miss Spirits, the website that I write for, omspirit.com, an affiliate of Own 3. For all your roofing needs, text or call Riverland Roofing at 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. I do not encourage drinking. I encourage you to deal with your pain in whatever healthy manner you can. And to take care of each other. Be good to each other. And God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.